Kemi. And? You can't leave me hanging. I snorted as my fingers flew across the keyboard. Me. A 10 plus. The man knows his stuff. Kemi. Good, it's about time for both of us. Babe, I gotta go work a day shift, and then Ryan is picking me up. Catch you tomorrow? I paused, realizing that Kemi was really into him. What did they say? Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Shit. I wasn't sure if this was a smart idea, but if I could spend some time with Ryan, I might be able to keep Sebastian and the Safe Horizon Society safe. And death. My desire to protect both men wasn't healthy, but I couldn't seem to stop myself. Besides, it would raise suspicions if we didn't all hang out. I would rather control the situation than let it sneak up on me. Me. No, after you two get naked, and of course, dressed again, I was hoping you could stop by and see me at Velvet Vortex, so the guys can meet each other. Plus, I could use the time to unwind after work. My ass will be dragging, but I'm counting on that adrenaline to kick in. Lol. Kemi. I like the way you think. Priorities. Naked first, friends second. LMAO. Love you, babe. Me. Lol, love you too. Sebastian will take his break around 8 p.m., so anytime before or after. Thank God, I had time to take a nap after work and before I met Kemi. Kemi. Perfect. See you later. Once I had made plans with Kemi and Ryan, I texted Mom to check on Dad. She responded with a thumbs up and said she'd update me soon since the doctor had just walked in. My thoughts wandered to the medical bills and how I would pay them without Death's assistance from the webcam job. Honestly, I was surprised he hadn't been waiting for me when I got home this morning. I was so wrapped up in Sebastian that it hadn't crossed my mind until now. Maybe Death was on another hunt. I strolled into Velvet Vortex and smoothed my sweaty palms on my dark wash jeans, my attention traveling straight to the bar. Silence by Gally J reverberated through the speakers, pumping up the energy in the club. I hadn't visited Sebastian on a Wednesday evening before, so I had no idea how many people typically hung out. It seemed relatively low-key tonight, but maybe Sebastian wouldn't be so busy either. My stomach dipped when I spotted him chatting with Kip. There were only a few people at the bar, men from what I could tell. I grabbed the strap of my leather purse and squeezed it, my nerves dancing around like popcorn kernels in a hot pan. Approaching Sebastian, I squared my shoulders and willed my palms to stop sweating. The moment he spotted me, heat pulsed through my body. Damn, he looks good. A gorgeous smile eased across his face, and I nearly melted on the spot. I climbed onto the barstool and set my purse next to me. Hey, beautiful. Sebastian leaned over the bar and kissed me. He winked at me, then said, That's for any stupid fuckers that think they have a chance with you. His comment should have irritated me, but it had the opposite effect. It was sexy as hell. Thank you. Are you going on break soon? Kip meandered over to us, grinning.
Hey, Ella. It's good to see you again.
Our eyes met, and a small jolt of electricity sipped through me. For the first time, I was close enough to notice the outer edge of Kip's contacts.
I didn't know you wore contacts.
Yeah, they're actually brown contacts. I have ocular albinism, which reduces the pigmentation in the iris and retina. It tends to scare people off. This seems to have fixed the problem. I actually get laid now.
He arched a brow and smirked. Images of Death flashed through my head, and I sized Kip up. my brain nudging me with possibilities I didn't want to believe. Sweat slickened my palms as I reminded myself to breathe. Holy crap. How had I not seen this before? The similarities were right in front of me. The size of the hands, the broad shoulders, the shape of the mouth. Oh God, no. No, 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 it can't be. If Kip is death, that means I've been sleeping with Sebastian's best friend. I had to be wrong. My stomach churned, and my world screeched to a standstill as my breath hitched in my chest. Kip and death couldn't be one and the same, but the similarities were overwhelming. God damn it. My relationship with Sebastian depends on me making a mistake about Kip's identity. I folded my hands on the counter, willing my feelings not to register on my face. If I was correct, then how was he so calm and offhanded about our interaction? You too. How have you been? He popped Sebastian with the white bar towel.
Busy. This dude's got me running hard.
Sebastian's gaze cut to the side.
Yeah, we're so busy tonight.
Go take a break with your girl, so I can get the hell out of here when you're back. I've got a girl of my own waiting for me.
Yeah? Is her name Dolly?
Sebastian asked. I barked out a laugh, then raised my hand in surrender, my brain forming a mental image of a blow-up doll.
I don't need to know any details, guys. Save it for Dolly.
I smirked at Kip before we all broke into laughter. Until I knew for sure who Kip really was, I had to pretend that I didn't suspect a thing. I laughed as Sebastian and Kip gave each other shit in a good-natured way. It was clear they were good friends, which meant I was making a mistake. Or Sebastian didn't know what Kip was hiding. Determination bloomed to life inside me, and I squared my shoulders. Come hell or high water, I was going to find out who death was.
Chapter 36, Death. The lamb may not recognize the wolf, but it feels the danger in its presence. Unknown. The alleyway behind Velvet Vortex was peaceful at 1 a.m, while the rest of the city was pulsing with nightlife. I had found myself a nice hidden spot. I tapped my fingers against the steering wheel, my rage bubbling to the surface once again. My little lamb had thought I was gone for a while, and had snuck out to play. I'd made it clear that she was mine, so the fact that she had tested those shark-infested waters was disappointing. She would pay. They both would. My excitement to see Ella turned to 180 when I had pulled up the history of her phone location last night. It was one thing to suspect, and another to have confirmation shoved in my face that she was with another man. Not just having coffee or dinner, but spending the entire night with him. My nostrils flared as I gripped the steering wheel so tight my knuckles turned white. The motherfucker had come home, and Ella risked seeing him. Now he would die a slow, torturous death. Thinking about all the ways I planned on inflicting pain on him, I settled on skinning him alive, one slice at a time. He would pass out from the sheer agony, and I would laugh as I injected him with adrenaline, forcing him to stay conscious. A wicked smile tugged at the corners of my mouth. Two could play at Ella's game. A few minutes later, Sebastian's black BMW drove out of the employee parking lot and turned right. Taillights winked in the darkness as he slowed and turned left. My eyes narrowed, wondering where he was going. It wasn't towards his place. He's going to Ella's house, I growled, consumed with a sudden need to end Sebastian quickly instead of carving him up. I had other victims to torture, but Sebastian was on the top of my list, and I had an opportunity to take the son of a bitch out right then. Time management 101. Work smarter, not harder. Waiting to see if he would turn down Elm Street toward Ella's, I bided my time. There was a slight chance I was wrong about where he was headed, but I doubted it. What baffled me was the fact that Ella had been bold enough to invite him to her place. My brain throbbed with possibilities, my anger simmering beneath my skin like a million little bugs eating me from the inside out. I gritted my teeth, focusing on the vehicle ahead of me. I pressed the accelerator, sending it lurching forward. The sound of the impact split my head open. I blinked several times in an attempt to focus on the task at hand. I put the car in reverse and hit the gas, slamming into it again. The car flipped a few times before the scrape of the fiberglass wrapping around the tree in the middle of someone's yard sent a satisfying shiver down my back. Goodbye, Sebastian Fletcher.
Chapter 37. Ella. My phone rang and jarred me out of a peaceful sleep. Rubbing my bleary eyes, I glanced at the digital clock on my nightstand. Who the hell would be calling me at 7:50 in the morning? Dad! I snatched the cell up, fumbling in the process and sending it sliding across my floor. Somehow, the sheets had wrapped around my legs, and I kicked furiously in an attempt to answer before I missed the call. Finally, I landed with a thud on the hardwood and crawled to my phone. Breathless and terrified, I answered. Hello? Babe, it's Cammy. My spine tightened, and despite the fear pumping through my heart valves, I managed to remain calm. Cammy would only call me at this hour if it were an emergency. What's wrong? Are you okay? Is it Dad? Did you hear something before I did? Your dad is fine, as far as I know, but you need to get to the hospital as soon as possible. What? Why? Still half asleep, I pulled myself up and staggered to the bathroom. It's Sebastian. He was in a really bad car accident a few hours ago. They just brought him in. Ice chilled my veins as the reality of her words bitch-slapped me. I couldn't fucking breathe, let alone move or think coherently. I don't have any other details yet, but Ryan and his partner found the car. I'll see if he knows anything. Grab some coffee and get your ass over here. It looked really bad, babe. I pinched the bridge of my nose, refusing to cry. Until I had more information, jumping to conclusions wouldn't do any good. I'm on my way, Cammy. Call me if there are any updates. See you in a bit. Drive safe, please. I disconnected the call, my hand trembling as I set the phone on the bathroom counter and washed my face. After I peed and dressed in jeans and a hoodie, I made a large cup of coffee to go and called my boss on the way to the hospital. After I explained more in depth about my dad's cancer, and now the accident with my uncle, he told me to take the time I needed, but to call and check in. Collecting my purse, I hurried out the door and prayed that Sebastian wasn't going to die. I paced the white tile hallway floors, chewing on my nails until one started bleeding. My nerves were fucking shot. Sebastian had sustained a head injury and a punctured lung, which was all that we were aware of so far. After Cammy finished her shift that afternoon, she joined me in the emergency waiting room. Tears streamed down my cheeks as I paced beside Cammy, her hand wrapped tightly in mine. My heart felt like it was being torn out of my chest as I silently prayed for the miracle that Sebastian needed to be able to survive the operation. All around us, the hospital bustled with activity, but all I could feel was the ever-growing weight of terror and despair pressing on me. The world outside seemed miles away from where I stood, a place unable to help or intervene. I clung desperately to hope,
as if I could save him by sheer will alone. I slowed and stared out the hallway windows that overlooked the busy Portland streets. Ryan will be here soon. We might have some off-the-record answers about the car accident. I know it's not an update on Sebastian, but I'll keep bugging the nurses for any new information. Cammy slipped her arm around me and squeezed my shoulder. Deep breaths. When we're this stressed, we forget that our brains need oxygen. I covered my face with my hands, my neck stiff with tension. Cammy, Sebastian and I had just told each other we wanted to see where our relationship might lead. I could imagine myself with him long term. Cammy blanched. Really? You don't think it's too soon? I shook my head. No, sometimes you just know. Besides, we're taking our time, dating, hanging out, getting to know each other. It's not like we got engaged. That makes more sense. Cammy rubbed my back, attempting to soothe me. Tears streamed down my cheeks and I angrily wiped them away. If I found out that death had anything to do with Sebastian's accident, death would be the one who would have to run from me. Maybe Cammy had some more information. Do you have any idea if another car was involved, or if anyone else was hurt? I had told Cammy that my stalker wasn't around anymore, and it was just a freak thing that he had looked at me through my kitchen window that night, so I doubted that my question would raise any suspicions. Cammy's forehead pinched. I have no clue. We can ask Ryan. Normally, I would see the people involved as they all come into the emergency room at once, but I hurried to help with Sebastian, so I don't know.
Thank you, Cammy. Thank you for helping Sebastian and calling me.
I hiccuped through my tears while I soothed my battered soul with ways to capture and torture death if he was responsible. Everything inside me screamed that it was him. What surprised me most was that a car accident wasn't his method of operating. He liked to play with his prey before he killed them. My insides twisted as I recalled that he'd killed Stephen quickly in my kitchen. He hadn't followed his normal pattern then, either. He had been saving my life, though. An idea formed in my mind, and a possible puzzle piece fell into place. Heavy footsteps lapped the tile floor behind us, and I peeked over my shoulder into the waiting area. A tall, muscular, dark-haired cop approached.
Cammy,
he said, his voice deep.
I'm here.
Cammy spun around and embraced him. Hi, thank you for stopping by. He kissed the top of her head.
Sorry it took so long, but an accident like that takes a while to report and take down the details.
I understand. Cammy turned to me, still attached to Ryan. This is my best friend, Ella McLeod. Ryan extended his hand.
Nice to see you again. I'm guessing you've not had any more stalkers dropping by your house?
Oh, shit. Cammy is dating Officer Bexley. I glanced at my bestie. You two know each other? Cammy asked, puzzled. He was the officer who showed up to check my house when I called 911, when that man was lurking around my property. I looked at Ryan. I had no idea you were the same person. I feel like I already know you since Cammy talks about you all the time. He flashed me a kind smile.
I'm sorry about your boyfriend.
Sebastian wasn't officially my boyfriend, but I wasn't about to correct him. Thanks. He's in surgery now. Hopefully we will hear something soon.
He's lucky he's alive. There were skid marks on the road, so he was trying to brake, and it sent the vehicle into a tailspin. It flipped a few times before the tree stopped him. The car wrapped around it, and we had to use the jaws of life to get him out.
My hand flew to my mouth, and my heart ceased beating. Panic rose, and I thought I might be sick.
Was there another car involved?
My voice shook with my question, terrified to hear the truth, but one that I had to learn.
I can't say anything else until the investigation is over. It's routine, but I'll let you know as soon as I can.
Damn it. What if death had forced him off the road? There would have been evidence, right? Not necessarily. Death was an expert at covering up his tracks. Maybe he'd stood in the middle of the street at night and scared the shit out of Sebastian. If he had done something like that, he would have had to track Sebastian's car. A jumble of emotions tumbled inside me. Fear, fury, and confusion. So many thoughts, followed by even more questions, zipped through my head.
So this was just a fluke accident?
Cammy suspiciously eyed me. She knew me well enough to understand that I was getting at something. I was. But I couldn't talk to her about death. A heavy blanket shrouded me in loneliness. This mess was just another reason that death and I could never work. I would live in a completely different world than my family and best friend, chained to silence to protect death from ever being caught, and constantly scared to piss him off.
We're still waiting for the full report, but I'll let Cammy know as soon as we find out anything else.
Ryan nodded, then returned his attention to Cammy, doting on her before he had to leave. I was happy for her, but if she was serious about a cop, then it would definitely change our conversations. She could never learn about Sebastian breaking the law and helping women and children escape dangerous situations. Even though Cammy might support what he was doing, if she ever slipped up with Ryan, Sebastian would be arrested, along with everyone else who was involved. Where are Dope and Kip anyway? I searched the area, but I didn't see him anywhere. That was odd. Dope and Kip were Sebastian's closest friends, so it didn't make sense that they weren't there. Suspicions needled my skin as I wondered where they were, especially Kip. A few minutes later, a pair of doors leading down a hallway whooshed open and Dope and Kip appeared. Sebastian's friends are here. I'm going to see what they know. I hurried over to Dope and tugged on his arm. Hi. Dope turned and flashed me a sad smile.
Hey, I'm glad you made it.
I gave a slight wave to Kip and he nodded, acknowledging my presence. I didn't realize you guys were here. I folded my arms over my chest and hoped they had some information I didn't.
Kip and I have been in an intensive care unit waiting room, and we just came out to grab some coffee and see if you were here. We actually arrived not long after they brought Sebastian in. When I talked to the doctor, I told him that I was Sebastian's brother so he could discuss his medical needs with me.
My insides quivered as I worked up my courage.
Do you have an update? Is Sebastian going to live?
I asked over the thundering of my heart. Chapter 38. Ella.
He's alive, Ella. I just got a text message that he's still in surgery, but almost finished. They've been decent about sending me updates during the operation.
I blew out a sigh, tears spilling down my cheeks.
He can't die, Dope. He fucking can.
Dope surprised me with a warm hug, then pulled away.
He's a badass dude. He's gonna be fine. Wait and see.
Dope's words didn't match the fear in his voice, but I loved that he was attempting to stay positive.
One of the cops that was on the scene is here. I just talked to him, but they're still investigating the accident. I'm trying to make sense of how this happened in the first place.
Kip cleared his throat.
He'd had a long night at the bar. Bass is a hardhead and needs to take some time off to sleep and enjoy life, but he's always burning the candle at both ends. I suspect he fell asleep at the wheel.
I rubbed my arms, warding off an eerie chill. Images of the files at the law office flickered through my mind's eye, and I quickly masked my thoughts. For now, I would have to stay alert and attempt to figure out what my subconscious was telling me.
My best friend Cammy is with me. Why don't you join us while we all wait?
Sounds good,
Kip said. Dope stuffed his hand in his jeans pocket before he agreed. I led them over to Cammy and introduced them. Over the next several hours, Dope and Kip reminisced about old times with Sebastian, and I learned a bit more about how these guys met in middle school and grew up together. Dope wasn't shy about sharing hilarious stories about the shenanigans they got into, including hotwiring his mom's car one night to drag race. I laughed between my tears as they explained that his mom's car was a Pinto with zero horsepower, and they got their asses kicked. Apparently, Dope and Sebastian were the two in trouble all the time. Kip joined them, but often cleaned up their messes. I discreetly glanced at Kip, the wheels turning in my mind as I tried to piece my suspicions together. I wasn't sure who he really was or how he was connected to death, but there were hidden secrets I had to uncover. For Sebastian's sake. The possibility that I had slept with Sebastian's best friend still rattled my soul. But at the moment, I didn't have any proof to back it up, only a bad feeling. I'm glad you're both here. It's comforting to hear about all the good times you've had with Sebastian. I have to trust there will be more. What I said was true. But there was another important factor I was searching for, and they made it easier to sift through since they were together. However, I wasn't ready to deal with that yet, and I shoved it out of my mind for the time being. Dope set his arms on his legs and stared at the floor, the air changing from good memories to heartbreak. I shifted in my seat and leaned my head on Cammy's shoulder right before a tall man in green scrubs entered the room.
Hal Whitney?
Dope shot out of his chair, raising his hand. Kip and I followed in case we could also learn about Sebastian. The doctor took one look at us and turned to Dope.
I'm Dr. Roggins, one of Sebastian's surgeons.
He peered at Kip and me and rubbed his stubbled jawline.
Only family, I'm sorry. We're all brothers and sisters,
Dope explained.
Half,
I chimed in.
That's why we don't look alike. We all grew up in the same house, though.
I hoped like hell my added lie would help.
Okay. Well, Sebastian made it through surgery. He had a punctured lung, head trauma, and internal bleeding. We stopped the bleeding of the liver. As for the head trauma, we won't know how serious it is until he wakes up.
What does that mean, exactly? Will he have amnesia or be in a coma the rest of his life?
Kip asked, unable to disguise his frantic tone.
We haven't seen any signs of permanent damage, but again, we have to wait until he regains consciousness to assess the situation fully. I'm sorry I can't tell you more yet, but he's alive. Let's try to focus on the positive. Now it's just a matter of time to see what happens.
I pinched the bridge of my nose, soaking in what Dr. Roggins had just said. Sebastian was alive.
When can we see him?
He was just moved into a private room. You can all come back. Give him a bit of time to wake up, and don't overwhelm him with questions, though. Let him acclimate.
We promise, I said.
Dope and Kip agreed as well. I glanced over at Cammy, who was standing by the chairs, her hands clasped together. I gave her a thumbs up, and her shoulders slumped.
I'll text you, I mouthed.
Following the doctor, Kip, Dope, and I disappeared behind the locked doors. The overwhelming stench of antiseptic and death greeted me, and I recoiled inward. I thought I would be used to it after all the hospital visits with Dad, but I had the same reaction every time. We walked to the end of the hall in silence before Dr. Roggins slowed at room 502. He pushed the door open and motioned for us to go in.
The nurse will be here shortly to check on him. Grab yourself a seat and let him sleep.
Okay,
I whispered.
Thank you for taking care of him.
Of course,
Dr. Roggins said before he left. I hung back in the doorway, staring at Sebastian's sleeping form. Brown and black bruises dotted the right side of his swollen face. The soft beep of the machine monitoring his heart rate filled the area. An IV pole with two bags suspended from hooks stood beside his bed, administering pain meds and keeping him hydrated. A blinding rage rooted itself inside me. If my suspicions about death were true, he would pay for this. My attention landed on Dope and Kip as they pulled up chairs next to their best friend. I scoured every inch of both of them, searching for clues as panic clutched my chest. I forced myself to breathe as I approached Sebastian. Gently, I brushed a lock of hair off his forehead and kissed his cheek. "I'm here, baby," I whispered. Dope brought me a chair, and I settled in on the opposite side of the guys. I took Sebastian's hand in mine and traced small circles on the back of it with my fingertips. His skin was warm to the touch, and I wondered if he realized I was there. We were all there for him, hoping and praying that he would wake up without any permanent brain injuries. Dope, Kip, and I kept the conversation positive and in hushed tones. It took everything inside me not to try to wake Sebastian, but he had just been through surgery and his body needed rest. Over the next few hours, I updated Cammy and Mom and learned that Dad was doing well at the beginning of the trial. My heart soared with the news. And then I reminded myself how many times we thought he was going to recover before it all went to hell again. I leaned back in the uncomfortable hospital chair, my ass screaming at me for sitting so long. There was no way I would leave Sebastian, though. Pretending to close my eyes and sleep, I racked my brain for hints of what my subconscious was trying to tell me.
"You almost got caught,"
Dope snapped. His deep voice was distinguishable enough to differentiate who spoke, even as they whispered.
"Don't pin this on me,"
Kip said, his tone clipped and irritated.
"I'm fucking pissed that this happened. It could have been avoided if we'd..."
Dope blew out a big breath.
"It's gotta stop. I've tried, but it's no use. I need help managing it."
"Play it cool, Ella, and let them talk," I mentally urged the guys to continue.
"And what about Ella?"
Kip asked.
"I'm surprised she hasn't figured it out." "Me too, but shit's gonna hit the fan soon. I warned you both this would happen, but nobody fucking listened to me."
Silence enveloped the room, leaving me hanging on their every word. Anxiety boiled in my veins as icy suspicion of what they meant by me not finding out pierced my chest. A flurry of possibilities raced through my mind, and a single revelation congealed in my gut like poison.
Chapter 39, Sebastian. I struggled to peel my eyelids open, but they felt as if they'd been glued shut. Once I won the battle, I was met with sharp shards of blinding white light. I attempted to pull my arms up to shield my sight, but it was as if they were glued in place.
"Sebastian, can you hear me? It's Ella."
Her sweet voice floated in the air around me, and I finally managed to make out her gorgeous features through the haze of pain that pierced through my skull.
"Do you want an ice chip?"
I nodded, unable to speak yet.
"Here, open your mouth."
I groaned as I pried my lips apart, the skin of my upper lip tearing across my lower one. What the fuck is going on? Frantically, I searched the room for anything familiar, but it was all so hazy. A cold sensation coated my tongue and I swallowed, allowing the moisture to dampen the fire in my throat.
"More,"
I managed to say. Hey, man, it's Dope. Kip is here, too. You had a car wreck and you're in a hospital. My eyes closed, the memories rushing back of a blinding light in the middle of the road. I didn't remember anything after that. You had surgery. Your lung was fucked up and you had some internal bleeding, but the doctors got it stopped. Plus, you hit your head pretty hard. Do you recall any of that? Dope asked, staring at me with an expression twisted with worry. Bloody hell, not a bit of it. But I know who you motherfuckers are. I attempted a grin, but it took all my effort. My curiosity swept the area as I identified the sterile room and small hospital bed that I was in. We told the doctor that we are all half-siblings so we could stay with you. Ella's gentle smile made my heart sing. That's my good girl, I croaked. The guys shot Ella a look and chuckled. I hadn't meant to call her my good girl in front of them, but the drugs had me loopy as shit. How long have I been here? Since about 4 this morning. It's 5 in the evening now, so a full day. Kip explained. He placed his hands on the railing of my bed, and I could have sworn that I saw Ella flinch. Apparently, my head to the head had me imagining things. Why in the hell would Ella react to Kip like that? I would have to ask her when no one else was around. Ella continued feeding me ice chips until my voice sounded more like my own. The guys continued to talk, quizzing me about what I remembered. Hell, I wondered how much they would recall while fucked up on drugs. A shadow flashed through my mind, and I winced. I think someone else was there right before I had the accident. Ella was the only one who didn't appear shocked by the possibility. She settled into her chair, refusing to let go of my hand. I was okay with that. When I first woke up, it was disconcerting until I saw her beside my bedside. Her presence instantly soothed me. What do you mean? Kip asked. I inhaled slowly, mindful of my injuries. Even with the pain meds, they hurt like a son of a bitch. Maybe it's nothing, but I thought I saw a car behind me. Dope's expression grew grim. I spoke with one of the cops on the scene and they're still investigating, Ella said softly. Maybe I hit my head harder than I realized. I reached up and shoved my fingers through messy strands, realizing I had some dried blood and hair plastered to my forehead. Something wasn't settling right inside my gut. I was sure that another person was involved in my accident. I slowly turned toward Ella and smiled. I'm glad you're here. You too, motherfuckers, but especially Ella. Where else would I be? She raised my hand to her lips and kissed my knuckles. Would you and Kip find the nurse or see if you can track me down some Jell-O and 7-Up? Maybe they'll let me eat something. For a second, I thought her shoulders tensed, but my head must have been messing with me. Sure. She stood and squeezed my hand before she walked to the door. Dope, do you need anything? Kip asked as he joined her. I'm good, thanks. I waited for Ella and Kip to leave before I turned my attention to Dope. What the fuck happened and don't give me any bullshit? The color drained from Dope's face. We're trying to figure it out, but you've got to stay quiet. If you need to talk, you got to keep it between us, man. Don't drag Ella into this. It could put her in danger. I pursed my lips together, frustrated that I didn't have answers. Am I fucking crazy to think it was Kip who ran me off the road? We've talked about how he's disappearing and shit. Dope winced as he rubbed the back of his neck. No fucking way, man. Kip would never pull shit like that, even if he were pissed at you. but if you said there was another car involved, I believe you. His words hit me in the chest, cracking me wide open. I shook my head, my hair rubbing against the pillow, making a rustling noise. You're right. I'm all fucked up about him. I'm worried. We've been friends since middle school. I trust both of you with my life. These pain meds are making me jumpy. My voice trailed off as I realized what I said. Why would someone have followed me and tried to kill me? Not sure, Bass. I'm sorry, man. I'm looking into it because you have no fucking idea how badly I want to figure all of this out. But God knows we've made enemies while working at Safe Horizon. I know we try to keep our identities concealed, but someone might have learned the truth. Maybe a wife broke protocol and her husband tracked you down or something. I closed my eyes against his words, not wanting to believe that someone hated me enough to be responsible for my accident. What do you need from me to get to the bottom of this? To get better? I think it would be a good idea if Ella stayed with you tonight. I'll ask Kip to take care of the bar. That will give me some time to chat up some connections and try to learn what the hell is going on. I need to follow up on a few more ideas. I raised my hand, and Dope grabbed it. We've got this. We'll figure out if anyone is responsible for your accident. Hang tight. I hope to have answers soon. Thanks, man. Lie low. If someone really wanted me out of the way, they might want the same for you, especially if it's concerning our work. I'll watch my back. Exhaustion tugged at me as my hand dropped to the bed. Dope. My head lolled to one side, still pounding. Yeah? Concern laced his tone. Keep Ella safe. I licked my lips. At all costs. My eyelids fluttered closed as I drifted off into a dreamless sleep.
Chapter 40. Ella. After 5 long days, Sebastian was released to go home. Dope had bought Sebastian a wheelchair, so getting him in and out of his penthouse would be easier. When Sebastian asked me to stay with him at his place while he healed, my heart screamed 1,000 yeses. I phoned into work and requested some extra time off, updating them on Dad's progress. They agreed to a few more weeks, but said I should start working part-time from home as soon as I could. I was okay with that, since Sebastian needed company more than my help. With him still healing, he would most likely nap a lot, allowing me to dive back into some cases. I opened the front door of Sebastian's penthouse and set my suitcase down while Dope wheeled him in. Cammy had been a lifesaver and packed a bag for me, so I didn't have to worry about it. It was evident that Sebastian was feeling better because he grumbled all the way, insisting that he could get into the elevator and stand on his own 2 feet. Maybe so, but he was still weak, and I refused to let him try. If he fell when I was the only one with him, I wasn't strong enough to pick him up. Here we are, Dope said, grinning at his best friend. I glanced around the stunning place with its open floor plan for the living and dining area, eager to spend time with Sebastian privately instead of at the hospital, with the nurses and doctors constantly running in and out. During those long days, I'd learned a lot about his friendship with Kip and Dope, and how the club and the Safe Horizon Society had started. These men risked everything to save innocent people, and I quickly understood how much they had truly given up of their own lives. Sebastian was selfless, and I could see why he wanted to step down. Dope and Kip were more than capable of being in the field, while Sebastian stayed back and worked behind the scenes.
You ready, man?
Dope secured the brakes on the wheelchair, backed away, and gave Sebastian some space. Sebastian planted both his palms on the arms and stood.
Told you I was fine.
Dope shot me a whatever look, then clapped his hands together.
Never doubted you for a minute.
Dope folded the wheelchair and placed it near the front door, while Sebastian gingerly walked over to me.
This is so much better.
He wrapped his arms around me and pulled me to him. I gripped his muscular biceps in case he got dizzy from the meds, but he seemed solid on his feet.
Almost.
I grinned at him before pushing up on my tiptoes and kissing him. Dope cleared his throat.
Remember the doctor's orders, you two?
He snickered.
I'll be back in a few hours with groceries and lunch. Thank you, Dope, for everything,
Sebastian said.
Keep my man out of trouble, will ya? Maybe now that you're around, shit will settle down.
I nearly choked on my spit. I highly doubted anything would calm down. They had no idea I had been deep diving to learn Death's identity. If Sebastian suspected someone else was involved in the car accident, I believed him. It had crossed my mind that it could be a vengeful husband of someone in the Safe Horizon, but as hard as I tried to talk myself out of it, I knew in my gut it was Death. I also understood that Death wouldn't storm into a hospital to hurt Sebastian. We were safe here as well. The security for the building was tight, and I had no intention of allowing grocery or fast food deliveries either, minimizing Death's access to Sebastian. Are you tired? I asked once Dope was gone.
Yeah. It's crazy how the trip home drained me. I hate it. I feel weak and helpless.
Stop. You're not either of those things. It's as simple as this. Rest and take care of yourself, and you'll be back to normal in no time. Sebastian pressed his forehead against mine, and my heart stuttered.
Thank you for staying with me.
I'm happy to be here. He lowered his head, kissing me.
It would make me feel better if you wore a little nurse uniform for me while you're here.
His chuckle sent delicious shivers through me. As much as I wanted to tear his clothes off and feel him inside of me, it couldn't happen. Not yet. Maybe it was for the best, allowing us to spend time together before we ravished each other. I'll see what I can do. Let's get you tucked into bed. I playfully swatted his ass cheek.
Come with me.
I arched my brow, giggling at his choice of words. I'll join you until you fall asleep. He flashed me an ornery grin as he led the way. After Sebastian passed out, I slipped away and closed his bedroom door. I stretched, staring at the high ceilings filled with the bright light from the early afternoon sun. My stomach growled and I strolled down the hall, my bare feet not making any noise as I headed to the kitchen. I had only been there once before, so I had yet to learn where everything was. I opened the stainless steel refrigerator, searching for food that wasn't spoiled, but his fridge was practically empty, with only a half gallon of expired milk. After I emptied the carton into the sink, I then located the trash at the end of the island. I searched the cabinets, still not finding anything worthy of consumption. My fingernails tapped against the black marble counters, and I realized that I was at Dope's mercy until he brought groceries by. I checked my watch, hoping it would be soon. Soaking up the minutes of silence, I tried to relax, but my brain kicked into gear. I sifted through the conversation I'd overheard between Dope and Kip at the hospital. What had they been talking about? And what hadn't I figured out? The doorbell chimed, startling me out of my thoughts. I hurried to the door and peered through the peephole, nearly crying with joy. I flung it open and smiled at Dope. Please tell me you have food. I moved out of the way and let him in. Both arms were loaded with reusable grocery bags.
I figured he had absolutely nothing in his house. The man lives at the club.
Makes sense. I took a bag from each arm and we walked to the kitchen. He's still sleeping. He's been out for a few hours.
Good. He needs it. He's a grumpy bastard when he's running on fumes.
Dope started to unload and put the groceries where they belonged.
The brown bag has Chinese food. Help yourself. There is more than enough for all of us.
I rubbed my hands together. You're my hero.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but thanks.
Once everything was put away, Dope grabbed us plates and silverware. We sat at the table, and I scooped some sweet and sour chicken on my plate. We were quiet as we dove into our food. My stomach dipped as I realized that I needed to have a conversation with Dope, and I hoped that he would keep it between us. Can I ask you something?
Sure. What is it?
He asked around a bite of Mongolian beef. I overheard you and Kip talking about me. You said you were surprised I hadn't figured it out. What did you mean? Dope's fork hovered in the air, a chow mein noodle slithering off and landing on his plate. I leaned forward and pinned Dope with an intense gaze. I think Kip is into some bad shit, and you're covering for him. Dope put his fork down and rubbed his jeaned thigh with his hand.
You don't understand, Ella. I really thought you were figuring it out, but guess I was wrong.
Figuring out what? I waited for him to respond, but he stayed silent. Dope, tell me before Sebastian wakes up. If you don't, I'll tell him that Kip is behind the car accident and possibly more. My stomach catapulted to my toes as the rest of the words lodged in my throat. I couldn't deal with the rest of that mess at the moment. It would have to wait until I knew Sebastian was safe. Dope's jaw clenched.
You can't do that, Ella. You've got it all wrong. Yeah, Kip was following Bass the night of the car accident, but it's not what you think. He was trying to protect him.
Then start talking. Now.
Not here. Let me call Kip to come over and hang out with Bass. Tell Bass that you need to grab some things from your house, and I'll meet you there.
My nostrils flared as I protested. Until I get answers, Kip can't be alone with Sebastian. I don't trust him.
Once I explain, it will all make sense. For now, you have to trust me.
Chapter 41, Ella. 2 hours later, I meet Dope at my place.
On second thought, I don't want to talk here. It's too risky,
Dope said as he stood outside my front door.
Grab your stuff and let's take a drive.
You're acting super strange, Dope. Before I go anywhere with you, I have to know that Sebastian is safe. I'm worried sick while he's with Kip.
He's fine. Bass is my best friend, and I would never allow anything bad to happen to him. Trust me. Please.
Dope's brown eyes pleaded with me, tugging at my heart. Giving in, I collected my purse and phone before I locked my door behind me. Where are we going?
Somewhere it's safe to talk.
He climbed into his dark green Honda Civic and I did the same. Once I buckled up, he started the engine and pulled away from the curb. I guess I never thought about what kind of car you drove. I've only seen you in the van. For some dumb reason, I assumed it was your everyday vehicle, too. That got an arched brow in my direction.
Ella, I gotta say that I think you're perfect for Bass, but the shit that comes out of your mouth sometimes is, well.
He grimaced. Dumb, I finished for him. I know. I blurt shit out at times without thinking it through. And of course, the van isn't your everyday car. It's probably hidden in a garage somewhere. And you change out the license plate every trip you make in it, so if you're reported, it will be more difficult to find a white work van. Dope grinned at me.
There she is.
I grinned. I'm new to the criminal world. I mean, I'm usually reading files and helping prepare to defend criminals in court, not living the life.
You're a criminal too, Ella. You tracked Sebastian, then helped us kidnap people and transport them over a state line.
You can't kidnap the willing, dope. Don't be so dramatic. I rolled my eyes. What he said still punched me in the stomach. I was a criminal. I had assisted death in covering up a murder in my home, and that made me an accomplice. My knee bounced, and I attempted to think about other questions to ask Dope. It would help me not choke him for withholding the truth as soon as we got into his car. Maybe he was anticipating me losing my shit, so he didn't want to be driving. Smart guy. 20 minutes later, Dope pulled into the parking lot of a park. Only a few people were walking their dogs or jogging along the path that disappeared into the woods. Portland had a plethora of public parks connected to protected forests. Suddenly, I wondered how many bodies were buried there.
Let's go.
Dope hopped out and waited for me to do the same before he locked the doors. I threw the strap of my crossbody purse over my shoulder in order to be hands-free in case anyone got a bright idea and tried to mug me. I was a paranoid bitch, but I didn't care. Not after what I heard Kip and Dope say at the hospital. That's why I didn't hesitate when Dope offered to answer my questions. But I had a few things to say, too. We slowed, and Dope jumped on top of a picnic table, reached inside the front pocket of his jeans, and produced a joint and lighter. The wind kicked up, cold and biting, and I burrowed further into my coat. The leaves stirred and danced as they were scooped off the sidewalk and into the air.
It got a little bent.
He frowned as he straightened it out as much as he could.
Want a hit?
No. I'm here for answers. I sat next to him, growing impatient with his stalling.
Listen, I understand that you didn't want to talk while driving, but please tell me what you wanted to tell me about. I want to get back to Sebastian as soon as possible.
Dope took a pull of the joint and blew it out several seconds later.
I should start at the beginning, but Ella.
He looked at me, sadness in his gaze.
You have to swear to me that this doesn't get repeated. If you want to talk to me about it, fine, even Kip, but not outside our safe circle. What I'm about to tell you falls under the NDA, but I'm asking you again for my peace of mind.
I promise. I keep secrets every day at work. You can trust me. Not to mention that I had Steven's blood on my hands. Well, it was on my body, but still.
For some reason, I trust you, probably because Bass does. Don't prove me wrong.
He took another hit, the stench of the pot assaulting my nose.
I won't.
I shifted on my seat, giving him my undivided attention.
I'll start when we were in middle school, because it's the only place I know where to begin. I'm about to share some fucked up shit.
A cold shudder coursed through me as I tried to brace myself for what he was about to tell me.
Kip, Bass, and I go way back, but I'd first met Bass when he'd moved to the neighborhood from Australia. We lived a few houses apart from each other in a middle-class neighborhood. It was safe. We rode our bikes in the middle of the street, played football, and we never thought anything about it. Bass and I were just normal kids in sixth grade. Then, everything changed on a fucking dime.
He looked out over the park as he spoke. Dope snuffed out his joint and set it on the concrete picnic table beside him before he continued.
I didn't know anything until after the fact, so my information is all secondhand, and I suspect not the entire story, but...
He wiped his palms along his thighs, clearly something he did when he was stressed.
One fall afternoon, Bass and I agreed to meet up after dinner to play Dungeons and Dragons. He never showed.
He visibly swallowed, and I realized how difficult this was for him. Take your time, dope. I wanted to slap myself for saying that. My heart was beating so hard, I thought it would burst through my chest. I needed him to spill the details before he had to call 911 because my blood pressure was through the roof.
I tried to call his house, but there was no answer. I just figured he had to go somewhere with his parents and he'd catch up with me later. No big deal. Shit happened. But he didn't meet me for school the next day either, and I knew something was wrong. I could feel it in my gut, but I dismissed it as being stupid.
He rubbed his jaw, his gaze connecting with mine. I do that too. Then I regret not listening to that voice. He nodded.
Instead of going to classes, I hurried to his place and rang the doorbell repeatedly. No one answered. I knew where they kept the key, so I jumped over the back fence and located it under the shriveled-up tomato plant in the garden. Seconds later, I let myself into their garage and then into the house. It was eerily silent and dark. Not a single light was on. I didn't call out to Bass because I thought no one was home. What bothered me was why he'd take off and not tell me. We shared everything, you know?
Cammy and I are like that, I said, encouraging him to continue. Cammy and I used to be like that before I had dark secrets that I couldn't share with anyone.
I walked down the hall and spotted the locked front door before I turned to go to the kitchen.
Dope's voice was so low I had to strain to hear him. He stared at the ground while his hands fisted, his entire body stiffening.
I've never seen anything like it.
Chapter 42. Sebastian. Shards of pain ripped through me as I stirred, drawing open my eyes as I acclimated myself to my surroundings. A thick fog lingered in my head from the accident, but I remembered that Ella had stayed with me until I'd gone to sleep. Eager to see her, I sat up slowly, making sure the room wouldn't spin. Every inch of my body hurt like a son of a bitch, but that's what a car accident would do. The fact that I'd survived was a miracle, and I planned to make the best of my life. Hopefully Ella would continue to be a